Right now, for many people, crossing the street safely doesn't take much more than looking up from a phone and checking both ways to make sure that there's no traffic coming, and if there's a traffic light, that it's in their favor. But for people who are blind or visually impaired, it's another story. A recent article from the UW Journalism Project called The Observatory took a look at audible traffic signals and what they mean for people who are blind and visually impaired. Denise Jess is the executive director of the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired, based here in Madison. Denise, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, you are legally blind, and in the Observatory article, you shared what it's like walking to work each day. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So I am legally blind, which means I have some limited vision. And so walking to work every day is really an exercise in mindfulness, I think I would describe it as. That, you know, getting preoccupied and having my head somewhere else isn't a luxury that I can afford, because I need to practice just acute awareness of my surroundings so that I can safely cross streets and navigate sidewalks. Even though I use a white cane, that's not an assurance that I'm going to get to and from safely. So when I come up to an intersection, whether it's a signalized one or not, and I tend to use signalized intersections because they at least cue the cars that someone is wanting to cross, I can never really fully trust that cars are going to stop. So I am always paying attention to where I hear traffic flow and listening for cars to stop if they are, you know, in the lanes where I would need to be crossing. So there's often, and research shows this is true too for other folks with visual impairment, that we delay our entrance onto the crosswalk because we're just checking so many times, checking, rechecking, is it really safe to cross? And by that time, you know, the light might be starting to flash already, which reduces our safe passage time. So, you know, 2-3 times a day, depending on how many meetings I'm running to and from, you know, that's the process of getting across a street safely. If it's an unfamiliar one and I don't know the traffic pattern, I don't know if there's a left turn lane or a right turn lane. You know, I may wait a light or two cycle mm-hmm. before I cross. So people are looking at me like, "What, lady, are you going to cross?" No, not yet. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't navigated this enough yet.
So the article in the Observatory focused on audible traffic signals. What exactly are those?
Oh, they're so awesome. Whenever I run across one, I want to do cartwheels right there in the street. They use an audible sound to help pedestrians cross safely. So right outside the WPR studios here, you've got two of them. And there are times when I'm running errands or meetings on campus where I'll intentionally go to those intersections to cross, because as soon as I hit the button for the walk, I get a tactile. It will give a little shake. So I'll know that I've hit the button correctly. And then it will tell me either wait because the traffic is still running and I can't cross, or it will tell me the walk light is on to cross University or park or wherever I am. And that is an amazingly liberating experience to be able to use those audible signals, because they're giving me information. You know, a lot of times if you come up to a regular traffic signal and you press the button, if there is a button, you don't know, is it working? Is it not working? There's no feedback loop. So this tactile little shake and then the words wait or the walk sign is on give me the information that I need, and I can actually start proceeding through the intersection sooner. And and the research again shows that when audible signals are used, people who are visually impaired start their progression across the street sooner and can actually capitalize on that whole walk light time period.
Let's take a listen to what that sounds like.
Wait. Wait. University, walk sign is on to cross University. University, walk sign is on to cross University.
So how common are those audible traffic signals in communities around Wisconsin?
Sadly, they're not very common. The best practice is to install them at the time that a new signal goes in, and that is the most cost-effective. And, you know, if communities truly value inclusion and accessibility for all people, because not only people who are visually impaired benefit from the signals, many other groups do as well. So really forward-thinking communities will say, let's just simply install one right away when we're putting this new signal in. I don't know many communities that do that. And so, unfortunately, then things have to get retrofitted later, which is much more costly and usually comes after there's an incident or people are feeling unsafe and having to prove that that's a dangerous intersection.
We're talking with Denise Jess right now. She's the executive director of the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. We're talking about how important audible traffic signals can be to people when they are trying to safely cross the street. Denise, do we have a sense how many people in Wisconsin are considered to be blind or visually impaired?
Sure. There are at least 100,000 people in the state of Wisconsin who have significant visual impairment. So that means, you know, anything that is less than 20 over 70 in the good eye. And then there are a percentage of those people like me who are legally blind and other folks who are fully blind. And that ranges from children through our aging adults. And as we know from looking at things like macular degeneration and retinopathy, that our aging adults who may have had normal vision throughout their lives are now also joining the ranks of those of us who are blind and visually impaired. So we'll see those numbers continually increase with the baby boomer population beginning to age. Mm.
Ideally, I think there would be an audible traffic signal at every intersection, but
yeah.
You know, that doesn't sound like it's realistically going to happen at any time in the future. In lieu of that, are there ways that drivers and pedestrians can kind of be partners in safety at intersections?
Yeah, they really can. So, I know that my colleagues and friends and clients who are visually impaired take street crossing really seriously. Sometimes people will say, well, you should be more careful. We're so hypervigilant about crossing. I don't know anybody that takes that in a cavalier way. So I think understanding that we're putting a lot of effort into crossing safely. For those of us who carry a white cane or use a service animal, that is just a vital universal signal to other pedestrians and to drivers that we don't see you. And in Wisconsin, and actually in all 50 states, there's a white cane law that requires that drivers stop for someone using a white cane, whether, you know, they're in the crosswalk or, mid-block. In Wisconsin, it's within 10 feet of that walker. And it is the driver's responsibility to be paying attention and have an awareness of their surroundings and to make that stop for someone carrying a white cane. And if we work together, we could have a really good collaboration and people could be much safer.
It does seem really concerning that we're seeing constantly the number of distracted drivers
yes.
going up, not to mention drunk driving and drugged driving, but distractions from phones, from
exactly.
everything else. That has to be really scary for someone who's visually impaired.
It is. You know, when I talk with my colleagues and friends and in my own experience, I can hardly think of a day that has gone by in my life where I didn't have that little extra heartbeat moment. So it's not uncommon with one of the places where I cross going to work in the morning, even though I'm using a signalized intersection, for drivers to run that. They get caught in the run the red. So they get caught in the flow of traffic. They're looking at their phone or applying mascara or whatever things people do in their mm-hmm. cars on their way to and from work. And they run the red. And usually it's two or three cars that run. And so, you know, I have to wait until I truly believe it's as safe as possible just out of curiosity, the month of February, I decided to keep a tally. So my morning commute, my afternoon commute, how many days was it that I didn't have to deal with a car running the red? Out of the, in the month of February, with those two times a day crossing my street, there was one day where no one ran the red. And that was stunning and disturbing to me to actually see wow. that written down.
Well, Denise, as we wrap up, I know that sometimes people would like to assist someone with a disability, but they're not sure how to. So what I'd like to ask you is, what should sighted people do if they see a person who might be blind or visually impaired trying to cross the street? What's the best offer of help that we can give?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. So really, we want to support the empowerment of that person. So asking them, you know, is there a way that I could be helpful? Or would you like any assistance? And then taking the cue from the person who's blind and visually impaired directly, because in my case, I don't need someone to grab my arm and would prefer not to have that happen. I will just say, will you walk with me, or will you tell me when the light has changed? Other folks would feel much more comfortable having a sighted guide, so someone that they could take their arm and walk across. Other folks are like, no, I've got it. I'm good to go. So the most empowering thing is to ask, not ignore. I've been at intersections where I've stood with next to someone and I've outright asked, would you tell me when the light changes, and they walk away. okay. What do I do with that? And then other times where folks have grabbed my arm, let me help you. But the times when I have felt just really empowered is when someone's asked me and I've been able to let them know what would be most supportive.
Well, Denise, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you, Judith. This has been a delight.
Denise Jess is the executive director of the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. She joined us to talk about audible traffic signals and how important they can be for people with a sight disability.